First one, we're going to have conversation with Colonel Bob McGinnis in the Washington, D.C. area. He's the man who brings us information about the geopolitical activities of this world. Bob, I want to talk about other things other than the crisis in the Middle East, but we've got to go to that first. The radicalism of the Arab street, Egypt, focusing on what's happening there. Give us your thoughts.
Well, President Hosni Mubarak, who, of course, is facing re-election this year, even though he's been a tyrant for 30 years and wanted to install his son, Gamal, apparently it would appear that that frustrated not only the military but the people, and, of course, with high unemployment and food shortages and general discontent, the Egyptian people, especially the downcast and some of the minorities, saw what was happening elsewhere and decided to take their grievances to the street. And over the last couple of days, we've seen a radical increase in the security forces, the army on the streets, and some killing and a lot of wounding and some destruction of property. It would appear, though, that President Mubarak, now that he has appointed Omar Suleiman, who is, of course, the country's head of intelligence, as his vice president, that makes the line of authority once Mubarak dies clear. And that's something he's failed to do. But I see that Egypt is still very tenuous. And at the same time, we saw the emergence of the Muslim Brotherhood, Egypt's only organized opposition to Mubarak in the country, start to participate in the protest. And though they don't have a singular leader at this point, should the discontent continue for some time, I see that country as being very volatile and could stumble if they're not careful.
Bob, talk to me about Mr. El-Baradei. He has come back into the country. He has volunteered to lead these street demonstrators up against President Mubarak. He has expressed his desires to possibly run for president of Egypt. But for many years, he was the head of the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency. And you and I had conversations about almost subterfuge that he was propagating across the world that Iran was not really developing a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. What about that connection and what he's thinking about?
Well, El-Baradei, I don't know that he has the local support, Jimmy, because he was on the international stage and does have name recognition and has tried to play the role of a possible, opponent to Mubarak. But I just, based upon what I understand within Cairo and elsewhere in that country, don't see that he has the type of following. Now, that doesn't mean he can't engender that, especially if he can somehow align himself with the Muslim Brotherhood and get their support. But I've never understood him to be much of a radical Islamist, or even a moderate one that they would pretend that they are. So at this point, I don't really see him as a potential incumbent.
We're going to continue this conversation about these crises throughout the entire Middle East, not only Egypt, but in Algeria, over in Lebanon, and also in Jordan. And we'll do that with David Dolan. We're going to take a Middle East news update from him in just a moment. Let's change the subject. President Obama gave his State of the Union speech this week, your observations, and did he leave anything out that you thought was important?
I think he left everything out that I thought was important. That's the problem. When I wrote this, I looked at what I typically consider as the important issues facing our country, and I expected that he would try to address at least those. Certainly, how much defense can we afford? And he briefly touched on that. And, of course, you know, given the fiscal constraints that we have, you've got to decide what your military needs to look at and what they need to consist of. He didn't go into that very much. He didn't address, to my satisfaction, the hemispheric security issues, didn't mention terrorism at all, mentioned very briefly the border, and yet the border with Mexico is incredibly violent, didn't mention Venezuela, which I think is a major threat, one aligned with Iran and threatens our own country. He failed to mention in any detail whatsoever Iran and North Korea, and yet I think they're on everyone's lips. And he has consistently failed to do, I think, what's necessary with those two regimes. China, he mentioned, but not in the context of a threat. And yet China's military, without any exception, is radically improving its capability far beyond what its regional requirements are. He didn't mention much about Afghanistan, probably because that's not going very well. And certainly he didn't talk about Pakistan, which, of course, I think is facing an Islamist civil war and not supporting us on its western perimeter. And then, of course, he didn't talk, the sixth point, about the radicalization of the Arab street, which, of course, has come out this week as a major problem, and all he can do, apparently, is try to encourage democratic advances and support for human rights, but at the same time, those democratic advances end up being Gaza and the Hamas-controlled regime. So he's got some very serious problems, and he failed, in my estimation, to give the type of attention we need in those areas.
Wow. If you would like to read what Bob had to say about it, that was a resume of what he's written, Obama's National Security State Union. It's a guest editorial on our homepage, prophecytoday.com, a must-read for you. Speaking of Iran, it's reported that the fleet, the naval fleet of Iran, is to sail into the Red Sea and also the Mediterranean Sea. Is this a move that we need to keep a close eye on?
Well, of course, Iran is being in your face as much as they can. Iran has been involved in the anti-piracy stuff off the Horn of Africa and the Gulf of Aden, and we've known that. They've set port into Djibouti next to U.S. vessels that operate out of there as well. So it's interesting that they're doing this, but it's just another provocation. They seem to think that they have the rights of any other nation, and they're going to take advantage of them.
I tell you, Israel's watching it because these ships are going to be somewhat off the coast of Israel, and with what's happening in the Gaza Strip, what's happening in Lebanon, etc., Israel's going to be watching very closely. Speaking of Lebanon, what about the new prime minister? He says he's committed to U.S. ties, but at the same time, it looks like it was the political element of Hezbollah that brought him to power.
No question about it. Of course, he's a billionaire, and I suppose that he's trying to ride above the waves, but he promises there are no preconditions. At the same time, he wouldn't be the prime minister if it weren't for Hezbollah, and that sends a very worrisome signal not only to Israel, but you've got to wonder what the relationship will be with Iran, what it will be with Syria and Turkey, and, of course, with Hamas. We know that in the last few days, Hezbollah has sent trainers into Gaza through Egypt, and that sort of thing will no doubt continue. So are we facing a repeat of the 06 war with Hezbollah, but this time with the Lebanese army behind it? Don't know. Very serious situation that we perhaps face, and I would hope that the U.S., which, of course, has withheld military aid from Lebanon here in the last year, will rethink that association before renewing those gifts of arms to that country.
Bob, at the conclusion of 2010, the lame duck session of the United States Senate voted to affirm or confirm the nuclear arms agreement with Russia, between the United States and Russia, and they rushed to do that, I think, without really thinking about what they were doing. The Russian parliament decided, or their legislative body decided, to wait and think it through, and they just seemingly have, the upper house has passed this. Now they're setting a date. There's no way that this is going to be able to stop. It's going ahead, and is it good or bad?
Well, I certainly didn't favor it. I don't know that we get anything at all out of this. In fact, the Russians get a lot. We've reduced by 30% our warheads, our will, and as well as our ability to deploy weapons, bombers, long-range missiles, submarines, and the like. The Russians couldn't afford it anyway. So, you know, we basically have kind of bowed to them and, you know, cut back our own systems through guarantees. But at the same time, the Russians can test new ballistic missiles, and we agreed not to. And they can make new weapons, and we agreed not to. I'm not really sure that this buys us anything but bad will, ultimately. You know, it was Obama's way of trying to, I suppose, reset the relationship with Russia, but it looks as if we ended up on the short end of the stick.
Yeah, we probably did end up on the short end of that stick, as many others. Colonel Bob McGinnis, he's in the Washington, D.C. area covering geopolitical activities for us. Bob, thank you so much for being available.
Thank you, Jimmy.